Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Simcast, your weekly source for occasional sim racing news and, of course, general tomfoolery. We'll see if I remember how to do this. It's the US team is back. This is episode 18 of our 2024 season. My name is Mr. Ben Williams, and joining me as ever, the chief taco eater of The Simcast, Mr. Louis Satterley.
Well, you say as ever, but if my calculations are right, it's been 6 weeks since the last time I was on a show.
It's been 3 weeks since I've been on a show, so it's good to be back.
Yeah, I think we owe everybody an explanation on why they had a 3-pack of the UK show. Mm-hmm. Which,
first of all,
Ben was voiceless, Tyler was out of town, and I was flying solo, and yeah, I would have riddled through a one-hour show at about 15 minutes, and you guys would have had nothing for 45 minutes. So we kicked it over to the UK guys.
Yeah. Recording a show whenever you sound like James Earl Jones sounds like a good idea, but in practice, it's very difficult.
Yeah, in your mind, you sound like James Earl Jones or Morgan Freeman, for that matter. One of those two. Either one of them would work. But then whenever you go into practice, you just sound like your voice is breaking again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you just sit there and so.
Yeah. Now I have to contend with allergies. It was the cold that took my voice the last time. Now it's allergy season here in PA. My charger is no longer gray. It is now green and yellow, which is kind of annoying from all the pollen.
Yeah, we had really that very early this year. Actually, normally we get it about end of February, beginning of March. And this year, because we had a very warm beginning of the year, whenever I left Daytona for the 24-hour, I had pollen on my car. But funny enough, love bug season didn't exist where I live, but this past weekend when I went down to Sebring to watch Eric race, as soon as I got off the interstate, nothing but love bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are terrible.
Yes. Should we have you explain what love bugs are to the people who are not in the United States?
I don't know if you've ever heard the term of blind mosquito. I don't know if you get those up there. They're like a little black thing. They kind of look like a mosquito, but they don't bite. They're just a nuisance that they just land on you and tickle you.
We get love bugs here.
We get love bugs.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I find that surprising. I didn't know they went all the way up that north. But anyway, for anybody who knows what a blind mosquito is, which is effectively what I just described, it's solid black, and they literally fly like a mosquito, but they don't bite, they just land on you and they tickle you, and they're out during the day. So a love bug is literally the exact same thing, only anytime that you see them, they're always in a mating pair to where basically their backsides are connected, and they fly around, and they have a little red dot on the back of them. And they do the exact same thing a blind mosquito does, only in pairs. And whenever they come out, which is about for 2 or 3 weeks out of the year, they are in swarms. So whenever you hit them with your car, you basically have to wash your car at the very end of the day. Otherwise, their guts will just get incredibly hard. And if you try to scrape it away, it'll chip your paint.
Yep.
So literally, as soon as you get done driving, wash your car. And unfortunately, it's not as simple as like, okay, wipe, it's gone. No, it's like pressing there with your elbow. You get tennis elbow from scrubbing so hard. Even after 15 minutes of scrubbing the same spot, you look down there and there's still a speck. Oh, I hate these things.
I'm also in that area of Pennsylvania that's going to get hit double by the cicada emergence later this year.
Yeah, we get cicadas as well, but they're nowhere near as bad as what they are up north. Like, literally, this time of year, we'll just stick our heads out there, and you'll just hear them just chirping away.
Yep. Yeah,
and so, making that obnoxious noise that they do.
If you're hearing obnoxious noises in the background of my microphone in a couple of months, dear listener, now you know why.
Yeah.
We are also joined this evening. He's been pretty much the silent partner up to this point. Taylor Burris is here.
I have arrived. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Taylor.
He has arrived.
What are you eating?
We are all back together again.
Some fried fish.
Uh-huh. Fried catfish?
You know it.
Ah, there we go. We got the Southern boy in now.
We should probably get into tonight's particular brand of sim racing news. So if you want to follow us online, all of our social medias are at the Simcast Radio. You can tell us what you're thinking about the show using the hashtag SimcastRSL. And of course, myself, Louis, Taylor, Matt, and Steven are all members of the Midweek Motorsports Listeners Collective. Speaking of which, Louis, you put a pretty big post in that Facebook group last week.
Yeah. Not getting as much love as I was expecting us to get, but we're still getting some love over there on that. Actually, Ben, I think this is more something that you need to announce because you kind of spearheaded this and managed to suck me in.
Yes.
Well, actually, I say you managed to suck me in. I'm the one who flat out asked you. So like, hey, are you doing this? And do you need people?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. So I've talked briefly on the program about doing the iRacing Nürburgring Endurance Championship with DDM Jam, who has been a guest on the show before. Now, since we were looking at doing the N24 and we finally convinced Lewis to get into iRacing, it only took 4 years.
Well, you and a few others
not longer. We're actually going to be doing the iRacing Nürburgring 24-hour race as a team. It'll be myself, Louie, DM Jam, and Steven, and I'm going to kill the pronunciation of his name, so I'm going to throw it to you, Louie.
Hudak.
Yes.
Anybody who listened a few weeks ago, he's the one that came on the show and talked about his Moza wheel stuff.
Yeah. So that might have been like 2 months ago at this point.
Yeah, I think it was about that long ago. Because it's been over a month since I've been here, so.
Yeah, something along those lines. Anyway, we're all really excited and looking forward to it. Louis and I seem to be the anchors of the team, and that's not necessarily like we're the slow people, so we got some work to do.
I was fully and wholeheartedly stick my hand up in the air and flat out say I am the slowest one of the bunch. So,
to be fair, I'm not that much faster, but I've also done approximately 10 laps of the full Nürburgring. Well, the full like N24 layout. I've done a few more than that at the VLN layout. So it's basically the same, and yet it's not all at the same time just because you have to do that infield section on the GP loop. But
yeah, literally use all of it except for two corners, which I don't understand why they just don't add that last little bit. But anyway, that's just me.
Yeah. To be fair, I don't like those corners. So
neither do I, actually. I think they're kind of redundant, but
yeah. Anyway.
Very scary.
Yeah, so I don't think we've discussed this as a team yet, but I'm going to try to get some type of streaming happening. We'll probably end up being on my personal channel. If that does happen, we will tweet it out like I have been for the Nürburgring Endurance Championship races that I've been doing with Jam, so be on the lookout for that.
And I know I will not be streaming because I'm pretty sure that'll tax my bandwidth and I don't want us to have a lag out.
Yeah. Luckily, I am the only one who's going to be using the internet that day, so.
I will for the most part of the day. So.
Yes, so we're really looking forward to it. I still need to finish the racing suit and the livery, now that I'm thinking
about it.
Yeah,
we've been anxiously anticipating, though.
Yeah, even after you did that really nice press release, I went back and changed a couple things. Because
oh, boy.
Well, one of them was flipping one of the number boards to be in the other direction, because it looked better. And the other one was just a spacing thing, but otherwise, it's the same, so.
Oh, and because I didn't include this in the press release, if anybody's wondering if hashtag eat more tacos is on there, yes, it is. It's on the underside of the rear wing.
It might end up on the hood. Cannot confirm nor deny. Anyway.
If it's on the hood, awesome.
So, yeah, be on the lookout.
There better be a taco.
That could be arranged. be on the lookout for that. Changing gears briefly, because we will talk about more iRacing things later in the program. We didn't talk about ACC, because ACC just came out of nowhere and dropped the new Ford Mustang GT3 on all of us.
Yeah, heck of a bombshell that was.
Yeah.
It looks purdy.
It looks purdy. It sounds purdy. I'll talk about how it drives a little bit later, but I honestly was not expecting ACC to, A, get this car, let alone release it, because, you know, like, they're supposed to be, like, the last ACC update, but apparently, you know, as long as you, like, bring a new car to GT World Challenge Europe, and you're racing it, like Roton Competition is, you get it added to ACC, and the best part, dear listener, this car is free. You can just download it. You don't have to pay for it at all. Matt, of course, has gone through some files, and he's found a couple of new paints that were also added in this update. I don't remember what they are at the moment. So,
it's the 2024 Fanatec season.
Is it all of them, or is it just a few of them?
I think it is all of them, including Sprint and Endurance, because I think they've had one of each type of round now, so they're able to do that.
Okay. Yes.
I know the Endurance Cup and the Sprint Cup have various entries in them, and some of them are only dedicated to one or the other.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The liveries that you get with the Mustang, I should add, include the American Special, which is what I call like the default paint that Multimatic has been running in IMSA. That's red, white, and blue. You also get the black
that is
and yellow.
Not Multimatic. Oh, never mind. Sorry, I was thinking Proton. Sorry, you're right.
Yep. The black and yellow version of that livery that Proton has been running, and also the extremely bright launch livery from Tory Lee Designs that has been both loved and disliked by the sim racing community and the racing community in general. There is no word, I should mention, of when the Mustang GT3 will be coming to consoles, but good news for console racers, Nordschleife is now available if you're on the console. It is basically the same, just side note here, it is basically the same as the PC version, but you have a reduced grid size of 30 as opposed to 50 that you get on the PC. It's available for $12.99. Euros or dollars or £10 if you're in the UK. Anyway,
so the UK gets a discount is what you're saying.
Inflation discount, whatever.
That's currency.
I spent about an hour and a half on this car last night. It understeers into the corner and then oversteers on the way out of it.
Perfect.
So, it's a Mustang. when you get into the tune, start changing things, start figuring it out, it is a lot of fun to drive. After that hour and a half, I actually went faster around Watkins Glen in the Mustang than I had in any other vehicle on ACC. And I think it's actually basically tied with my best time on iRacing at Watkins Glen as well. It was like a 45.7. Huh? Now, ACC community, I know that's not fast. Leave me alone.
Well, you never claimed to be fast either, so.
No, I don't claim to be an ACC expert here. But we do have speaking of ACC experts, we do have some word from James Parker. James is the primary source of setups for the Coach Dave Academy service. He posted in a Discord, I'm not sure which one of this is, the screenshot of this has kind of made its way around the internet, that the Mustang actually isn't complete in the fullest sense. It currently is using Jaguar sounds because they could not get the samples for the actual Mustang GT3. I mean, NA, VA, Go Burr, that Jag engine's from a period where Ford partially owned Jag anyway, so the engines are, if you squint hard enough, they're the same.
Or for this case, you just close your eyes and just listen.
Yeah. So it's fine. The gear ratios in the Mustang were provided by Ford, and this is the only gear set that they've used so far for the car, which was kind of awkward at Watkins Glen, if I'm honest. But didn't use sixth gear the entire time, which is weird. And because Kunos did not have the aero numbers for the Mustang, the baseline for the Mustang in-game is actually based off of the M4's aero numbers. So it's
interesting.
So it's not fully 100% complete, but it's like 85 to 90% of the way there, you know, depending on how you want to describe that. What do we think about that?
Continue to update it.
Yeah. Well, are they going to continue to update ACC? We don't know at this point.
Surprised us with this, so I'm assuming yes.
Yeah. We know AC Evo is due in like 4 or 5 months. Actually, maybe 3 months.
Is that close already?
Yeah, because they were aiming for Q2, and guess what? It's Q2 now.
So 2.5, really.
2.5, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Oops, excuse me.
Actually, no, less than that.
Mm-hmm.
We got a month and a half at the most, I would say.
Yeah. But we don't have any more information about it. Like, we learned last month that it was going to be called, so of course, Evo, and we haven't heard anything since. So, who knows? And
that seems to be a common trend lately amongst game developers.
Yeah. It also begs the question. So ACC got their Mustang out. When do we expect the iRacing version now? I believe it's Season 3 is what the common thought is at this point.
I would say it would be Season 3, if not Season 4. Because you got to think of it, there is at least several more GT3 cars that are planned on coming onto iRacing. One, of course, we know is the Ford Mustang. Another is the Chevy Corvette.
Of course.
And then there's talk of a few more GT3 cars. Which ones are they? Most likely, and this is speculation, we're not confirming anything on here, most likely the new Aston Martin along with the McLaren and possibly the Lexus.
The Lexus, which is going to be replaced in 2 years.
Well, I mean, if you want to have the entire IMSA lineup, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the 12C McLaren's looking longer and longer in the tooth as we get all these updated cars.
I think that is our oldest GT3 car we've had on the platform.
Yeah, unless you count the Ford GT, GT2 / GT3 that they have.
That's specifically a GT2 car.
They run it in GT3 all the time.
Well, not now they do, but at the time it was specifically GT2 spec.
Yeah.
Which became GTE, and now GTE doesn't exist anymore.
It's all fun and games until FIA get involved.
Yeah, pretty much. Speaking of, because I was just at GT World Challenge America over the weekend, when are we going to get updated GT4 cars?
I don't know if GT4 as a whole is popular enough on the iRacing service for
modernize the grid, it might be.
Well,
I mean, you got the new Mustang that just came out this year. You had the Nissan Z that just came out last year. There's no Supra in there, which there needs to be.
Yeah. The M4 is now outdated. The Porsche is still relevant. The McLaren has now been replaced twice, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they're at the Artura now.
Yeah, it's the Artura GT4.
Yeah.
Which I've literally only seen that one in Instant Pilot Challenge, and that's it.
Yeah, there was one racing in GT4 America this past weekend.
Okay.
No, which actually I think is actually the same team.
I was going to say, that's the same team, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the black, orange, and blue one. I believe it is.
It's pink in
Instant Pilot Challenge. Oh, the one IMSA is Motorsports in Action, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mia?
I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways,
anyway,
we can have that discussion all day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think GT4 needs to be updated to more modernized cars, I would say, because you do include it in multi-class racing still.
It's not really
in our entry.
Yeah. We are driving the Aston GT4. But really, the Nürburgring, I might have to look to verify this, but if I'm remembering correctly, the Nürburgring 24 is the only like big event that has the GT4 cars in it. You know, caveat of the war before the 24, because that one is basically just a glorified support race for Daytona 24, and not many people like. I don't remember the participation numbers, but usually GT4 is not that popular.
God.
So, don't get me wrong. I agree. They should update it. Like, we had the prototype for the M4 GT3 before the car was officially released, and yet we still missing the new GT4 car.
Great.
So they obviously have a good partnership with BMW. We got the GTP car before it was officially released, and we're several months waiting for the GT4 now. So I think iRacing, just kind of based on some of the other things that they've released recently, is kind of focusing on GT3 just because, you know, GT3 is uber popular, both in sim racing and in real life racing. So I guess it makes sense for them, if you're talking from a bottom line perspective, of having that class be fully updated. But I'm not a game developer. I don't know how licensing works. Licensing, it's complicated.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So. Complicated thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of new cars coming, when should we expect an updated, Lambo GT3 and Lambo GTP?
Yeah.
I don't know.
When could we expect the Dark Horse Challenge car to replace the Mustang MR500, or whatever it is?
The FR500S
that was used
for Grand Am racing back when iRacing first came out.
Yep.
Which was never a Grand Am car.
Nope.
Is that car still, I think, isn't that car
it's actually
used
still popular.
It's in a production car challenge.
Yeah. And production car challenge, which the lower you go, basically the more your lobby is just full of GR86s and Mazdas.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
which fun fact, a Mazda is faster than a GR86. Straight line.
I believe it.
It is. That's how I got leveled up pretty quick, was doing a bunch of those races, and I was in a GR86, and at most part, here comes the MX5 liter just blowing right by me, and I was just like, that's not fair. Then we get into the twisty bits, like, oh, hello again, then back straighting. Oh, why are you going?
Well, it makes sense. GR86 has a giant wing. Mazda does not.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of giant wings, you want to talk about World of Outlaws 24, Louie?
We can. Kind of got blindsided this literally about 4 minutes after Matt and Steven went off air for recording their show last weekend. I'm super excited about it because it is going to be a more refined and more developed version of what we've had for the last 2 years, which anybody who was paying attention, 2 years ago, the initial game came out, which was the first sprint car game that we've had in over 20 years. And It also included late models. It had street stocks on there. Later on, modifieds came into play on there, both UMP and big block modifieds. So this is going to be a continuation of that. It's going to have all new 2024 season drivers included in there. I don't know if that includes the lower league stuff with the UMP modified street stocks, 360 sprint cars, 305 sprint cars. But they're going to be adding a few new features on it in comparison to the previous game. So you're going to have Donnie's Outlaw Training, which Donnie is Donnie Schatz. I would say he's the most or second most successful sprint or outlaw sprint car driver with 10 World of Outlaws championships to his name. You get 19 unique challenges designed to basically it's a driving school. Challenges to hone your racing skills, and you get ratings from Donnie after each challenge with unlockables that happen on that, which is cool. A deeper career mode, so easier to navigate pathway from local ranks to national World of Outlaws driver. They've said they got visual upgrades that are coming to make it look better, and they're having a dynamic racetrack finally, which is what a lot of people were asking for this. So as the race event goes on and evolves, the track's going to continue to dry out and it's going to get more and more slick. New cars and new tracks. So what more they're going to add, if we follow the iRacing pattern, the only thing they're really missing is the non-wing sprint cars and the micro sprint that's out there now. And maybe some Legends cars. That'd be nice to have, in my opinion.
Some Legends cars would be cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And Monster Games, I believe, included them in one of the Tony Stewart games a little while ago, if I'm not mistaken.
I will confirm.
I know they added street stocks in that game, the Tony Stewart.
I know they had street stocks, but I think one of their, I think it was American Short Track Racing or something like that, had Legends cars on it.
All American Racing?
All American Racing, that's the one.
Oh, good. The TonyStewartGame.com no longer works. Please hold.
That's funny. And then a complete roster update, which is also included. So that's all the details that we currently have right now. And I am incredibly excited. And by the looks of it, on the cover, they have Donnie's sprint car, and I'm not sure whose late model that is. It's been a minute since I've paid attention to who's in the World of Outlaws late model series, but whoever drives the Dude Wipes late model, that's it. Which, that sounded really wrong now that I said it out loud.
You might want to give some context.
I don't know what Dude Wipes are. It just says Dude Wipes.
Hand washing. It's a hand washing.
Okay. I was hoping that's what it was, but...
And you are right. It did include the U.S. Legend cars.
Cool. I was right.
The Steam page still works, at least.
No, that's wonderful.
And but, you know what? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, go finish up with the dirt racing.
I completely lost my train of thought because you interrupted me, so that's why I said,
go sorry.
You're fine.
What were you going to say, Taylor?
No, it was involving some other new content from the dirt world, or not from the dirt world, but from the world of iRacing, of course, and the big one that everyone's talking about is... the 2003 Cup car scanned.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
We could change gears and go talk about that.
I mean, it all started with that hilarious accident though, back a couple of seasons ago, where
the glorious accident where the ARCA car was given 900 horsepower.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, you know what? Let's go ahead and give it to him. And have some fun with this. Granted, this ARCA Chevy Impala was the 2009 version of the NASCAR Nationwide car back then, mm-hmm. when Junior brought that over, of course. So,
if you squint real hard,
very
it still
hard.
Works.
It still. But
it's like if you squint at the Jag motor and the Mustang motor very hard.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
There's a big difference with that. But yeah. No, iRacing and Dale Earnhardt Jr. had showed pictures of scans regarding two very important stock cars in NASCAR history. You got the 2003 winning Matt Kenseth Ford Taurus, and then Kevin Harvick's Chevrolet Impala. So we are getting at least two of the NASCAR's most iconic cars, pretty much, in the 2000 era.
Yes,
and but not just any type of, but two different body styles. One, of course, for your short tracks and intermediates. And then, of course, the big one where it's going to be for your super speedways. So two different body styles, which I think is going to be crazy to see, especially with how those eras you saw the cars a little bit cockeyed when you're watching them coming straight at you from the TV cameras.
Yeah, they look like short track cars.
Can the Mopar fan make a plea real quick?
Oh, no, the Intrepid needs to be in there.
Please.
Has to be in there.
It has to be in there. Like, we've seen what Dale can get done by, you know, how many 87s are we going to have by the end of the year? At least six or seven now?
We're at four.
You're at four now. You got three more coming?
Not that I'm aware of.
Did they release the Petty Pontiac?
The Pontiac?
Yeah.
That was the fourth one. So that's four. One?
Okay.
What's the other three that apparently you know about, Ben?
Yeah, do tell. Because the only other car I could think
I may have gotten my timelines messed up. Look, we cover so much on this show, it's kind of hard to remember when you talked about certain cars and when you didn't.
That's fine and dandy. You said we're going to end up with seven at the end of the year, so I'm curious to know what those other three are. You dug this hole. You got to live in it now, dude.
You done gooped. Because literally, there is no other manufacturers.
There wasn't an Oldsmobile at the time?
Well, the Buick is basically the Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. There's the running joke.
You can repaint it in training paints.
Yeah, so it was Buick, Chevrolet, Ford, Oldsmobile, and Pontiac. Lost you there for a second, Louis.
Yeah, I came in. Some reason, Discord asked me, oh, detected new audio devices. Like, I've been talking.
Yep. Anyway, the point that I was trying to make, the point I was trying to make is that they can get all the manufacturers from a particular year. We just need a Pontiac and a Dodge. And these are from, you know, the last 20 years, well, 21 years, as opposed to, you know, before I was born. So they'd be pretty easy to find.
What we need is to go to 1970.
Oh, yeah.
And get the Plymouth Superbird.
Get the Daytona. Get the, what was the Ford? It was the Gran Torino at that point?
It would be the Talladega, actually.
Okay.
So it would be the Ford Talladega, the Plymouth Superbird, and then probably the Chevy Chevelle, because those were the big three at that time.
And then Charger Daytona, the Superbird are basically the same car. They are different shape, though, so maybe have both. The rear end and kind of the nose cone area are a different shape.
Let's just go with it. Let's go with the AMG Matador.
Yes.
Throw in the Matador and be happy.
Throw the Matador in there. That'd be great. But anyway, so yay, Dale Jr., keep up the good work. This is the best thing. Like, getting Dale involved with iRacing has pretty much been like one of their greatest moves, because it's produced so much. Like, North Wilkesboro, that's coming back because Dale had it added to iRacing. We have all these late model cars now. It's just been a really good partnership for the sim racing community.
It really has, because, you know, we're seeing more and more coming in on board with this. You know, like you said, with the new 2003 stock cars coming on board, we know more short tracks are coming on board thanks to partnership with the Cars Tour. So it's just only a matter of time to see how this will progress further and further.
Yep.
I think my headset's done freaking out. I don't know what the heck I was doing.
Welcome back.
It was literally bouncing back and forth between my headset, the TV screen, headset, TV screen, headset, TV screen. Detected a new audio device. Do you want to switch to that? No. What?
What?
Yeah, it was weird. Anyway.
Welcome to the Simcast. We do occasionally have technical malfunctions in the middle of the program.
More often than not.
Yes, unfortunately. Other
this
iRacing
why
news.
Why will not be streaming.
More iRacing news than this week. iRacing has released a series of 18 short but very detailed videos called the iRacing Driving School Series. I'll say it right eventually. And it is what it says on the tin. These videos cover everything from vehicle dynamics to racecraft to the art of racing in the rain. Golden Retriever not included.
Thankfully. That's a sad ending.
Yeah, I read the book as well, and it's just as sad as the book.
Yeah. No joke, anyway. Last movie to make me cry. That one.
Yep. Anyway, this definitely shows like iRacing going to. This isn't the best term for it, but iRacing going to the trouble of making all of these and releasing them is just another like signifier of the continuation of their new focus on driver education. We talked about several weeks ago how they're adding several new rookie series that helps you like learn the ropes of iRacing a little bit easier, and I'm really a big fan of this, but is it actually going to change driving standards across the service as a whole? I don't know.
I don't think so. You can't change people's personalities and how they're going to react on the racetrack. Potentially a better race for those who want to take it seriously, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody wants to get on there and just terrorize everybody and slam into them, they're going to do that regardless of what school they take.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, in some respects, it's like, okay, you're going to go to the trouble of paying for iRacing, of getting the equipment that makes iRacing possible. If you're going to go to all of that financial loss, I think you're going to be taking it seriously.
You would think.
You would think. But
there are people out there that do have more money than sense.
There are people who have more money than sense on this program. Says the guy sitting here touching his new 4070 that he needs to install.
And instead of playing ACC, get more practice on the ring?
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I'm bouncing back and forth between that and Gran Turismo. So I'm one to talk.
Yeah. I would be doing it this evening, but unfortunately we're doing this. Fortunately.
Same.
Anyway. If you're wanting to get started with iRacing and want to check out these videos, they're available on iRacing's YouTube page. There's a whole playlist of them that you can look up. Anyway, unfortunately, we now have to talk about EA Sports F1 24.
Okay, this is the part of the show where I will have fake technical difficulties.
Thanks, Louis.
Just kidding.
So, since it's 2024 and every game developer has basically decided, oh, we don't need to ship finished games, we can just update them later. F1 24 has announced that they will be launched, that the game will launch with the 2023 F2 car and drivers before updating to the 2024 F2 car, which is substantially different as compared to the 23 F2 car, as well as the 2024 driver lineup later this year.
Question. So
yes.
You're able to develop all new cars every single season. A grand total of 11 of them. Or sorry, 10 of them. But you can't quite get that 11th one in there with a lower tier car?
We're going to touch on that in a second.
Okay.
Yeah, just there is a point.
I'll bear with you.
Yeah, just bear with. Senior Creative Director for F1 24, Lee Mather? I'm going to go with
Yeah, that looks like Mather. A Lee Mather to me.
Yep. Lee Mather also explains to Overtake that the F3 car is another one of those ongoing conversations. He says that he thinks that we will feel the time is right and we've got the game that will really make the most of that extra content. Then it's definitely something we'll be looking to bring in. Again, part of this, like, don't need to finish the game anymore. Just release it and update it later. EA also released a video this week about updates that they've made to Silverstone, Spa, and the Qatar GP circuit. They've also included more information about how they're adding more cutscenes between races. The F1 24 will be using real driver audio, as we've been seeing with the F1 Manager games. The car models and the lighting have been updated. Excuse me. Using actual data from the F1 teams themselves, and they've also made massive improvements to the representation of the drivers themselves in game through, like, they're fully simulating hair now, and that they've done things with, like, how what's the term that they used? Improved eye and skin shaders.
Oh,
whatever
okay.
that means. Yeah.
So what you want to do? Get right up close and look at somebody's eyeball in a game.
You say that there are games that have done that before.
I know.
Yeah, but it was done was an effort to improve the driver's likenesses in the game.
Right.
F1 24. Excuse me. Is clearly going for a more focus on realism as opposed to the more like the F1 lifestyle that we've been seeing the last couple of years. And honestly, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I'm sorry, one more. We talked about on this program before how, you know, the F1 games the last couple of years have included supercars for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Those are now gone.
Woohoo!
Yes.
Enter Homer Simpson. Woohoo! Right here.
Mather explained that we didn't feel that the supercars were quite hitting the mark with the current scope of the game. They weren't as successful a focus as we had hoped, because everyone thought that it was stupid that we're in there. So we've decided to take out those we decided to take those out at the moment. This essentially gives us opportunity to focus on doubling down on authenticity this year, which is what we're really going for.
All right.
The video also detailed a couple other things. F1 24 will also include the, you know, usual roster of legendary drivers that you can use as your driver for a solo GP. But now we can use them as a full career and even as teammates in those careers.
Interesting.
Excuse me. And they've gone so far as to include F1 sim racing, or F1 esports, depending on who you ask and what day of the week it is. Former F1 esports / sim racing champions are also available to be selected in game, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah,
just because F1 esports is it's a really cool opportunity that, you know, the teams do get involved in, but it doesn't feel like if you win F1 esports, you're not recognized as much as, like, for NASCAR, they make a big, huge, hairy deal about eNASCAR at the end of each season. So it doesn't feel F1 does that as much. So having, like, this level of involvement in the title, I think is really cool.
Yeah, finally getting some recognition on a global scale for a global sport.
Mm-hmm.
I know the World of Outlaws every year for their iRacing esports champion, they bring them to Volusia and hand them a trophy and a check right there in front of the Volusia Speedway Park crowd. Mm-hmm. At least they have done for the last 3 years.
Yeah, and the eNASCAR final literally occurs with the four remaining drivers in the finale racing in the NASCAR Hall of Fame. So,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So, while F1's as a whole is kind of essentially ignored the eSport, I think this is kind of a sign of like they're going to start embracing it just a little bit more because they realize how important it is.
Yeah.
Now we can sit here and talk more about other things that F1 thinks are important, but this isn't that type of show, and I don't feel like getting multiple soapboxes out.
Okay, I'll put them away.
Yeah. Anyway, also mentioned in his interview with Overtake, Mathers explained that while those three tracks, Silverstone, Spa, and Qatar, will be massively changed and updated, the other tracks are probably not going to be touched. They will down the line because, again, don't need to finish game in 2024. And there's no plans, or like, there's no like timeline on any of that. And also that the anti-cheat system is still being worked on. It was rolled out with the beta version of F1 24, but Mathers was apparently quote-unquote coy with his answers to Overtake whether it will be included at launch. Of course, F1 23 and F1 Esports was, you know, full of cheating allegations last year, so we'll see what happens with that. Anyway, that's enough about F1. EA Sports F1 24. Remember, this comes out next month, or at the end, no, end of this month, end of this month. Forgot what date it was for a second there. Anyway, moving right along.
Before we fully move on, is it just okay? Managed to seem like these annual releases get released earlier and earlier every year lately?
I think this one's pretty much on track. Because
it just seems like they get earlier and earlier every year. Yeah. So I remember when they all used to come out in like October, November.
Some of them do, some of them don't.
Yeah.
I do know that this one, because I remember F1 23 being around this time last year going, really? That early? You don't want to push it back and actually finish stuff? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This year's even worse.
How about that? How about that?
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of games that aren't finished, Le Mans Ultimate.
Well, that's different. We knew this one wasn't going to be finished.
Yeah, we knew.
In fairness, the other one we know it's not going to be finished, but we expect it to be.
Yeah. There's been kind of a good chunk of Le Mans Ultimate and Motorsport Games related news. So because we only have less than 15 minutes left in tonight's program,
ooh,
and I still want to talk about a couple other things, I'm just going to hit the highlights of this. The 2024 WEC content will be expected by the end of the year. There is apparently going to be a mystery car that will be available for free with the next substantial update. Substantial update being like something beyond like the little hot fixes that they've been doing pretty much nonstop. There was one today, wasn't it?
Or was yesterday. It yesterday? Yeah, okay. It was yesterday.
Yeah, which that addressed two things, basically.
Two very, very minor things.
Yeah.
Anybody who absolutely wants to know, fix an issue where the game would crash when joining a server, which is a big no-no, and an issue where notifications are not displayed when toggling HUD to off. There you go. That was the update.
Yeah. According to Motorsport Games Studio 397, the next major update will be in June to, you know, kind of go with the whole Le Mans thing.
convenient, anyway, huh?
Yes, this update will include the asynchronous co-op mode that we've talked about on this program before.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I might actually have to, like, if you want to do something for content reasons for the Simcast, we might like try to do something with that. I don't know.
Might? No, we are.
We are? Okay.
If you get it, we are.
Okay. Yeah. So for those who may not have listened to those shows, the asynchronous mode where it's basically like Gloopy can drive his stint on Tuesday evening, get out of the car, and then I would be able to continue the race Wednesday evening, and we'd be able to like go back and forth. We won't have to like sit there for a full like 24 hours. We can stretch out a 24 hours over a period of time.
I think from start to finish, you have to have it done within 3 weeks.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly on previous press releases. But anyway, carry on.
Yeah. Yes.
Is there stuff you want to talk about?
Yeah. The other little tidbit from the Le Mans Ultimate is that they are starting to talk about what their subscription service is going to look like. This is, of course, going to be the race control stuff, which apparently will also be coming to R-Factor 2. According to Stephen Hood in the quarter one 2024 earnings call with Motorsport Games' funders, we are bringing a subscription service to both our R-Factor 2 and Le Mans Ultimate products, leveraging our race control platform, which has over 100,000 registered users all playing within our ecosystem. A gradual ramp of subscriptions is expected as we build the value proposition for players looking to get even more entertainment out of this exciting experience. Although we believe a free component of online race control offering will continue, it is up to us to convince players the value of presenting a subscription service. So, that begs the question, how similar to iRacing are we expecting this to be? Any takers?
Very similar.
I have to agree with Lewis on that one.
It's very similar. Last year, whenever they said that they were going to be releasing content every quarter, they literally tried to make it seem like they were directly trying to compete with iRacing, especially with how they did the weekly series races literally every week. To me, that screamed that they were trying to go head-to-head with iRacing, and then they have since... Actually, I don't think they've released any new content since Q3 of last year on R-Factor 2, which LMU's kind of been taking up all their time on that, so that makes sense. Yeah. This looks like it's more along those lines. I'm not happy about it, but
yeah,
I'm not the one that's making the decisions either. So, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay in business and try to compete, I guess.
Hood did continue to go on and kind of explain what they're looking to do, but I'll be honest, it reads like a bunch of business ease, and I'm not really seeing how it's going to be different than iRacing's model.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens with that. We do know from that call that Motorsport Games revenue jumped 76% following the Le Mans Ultimate Early Access. It is now up to $3 million in revenue, as opposed to this time last year when they only had $1.7 million in revenue. Bear in mind this does include iRacing paying for that NASCAR license. So that's...
Which we never did get the number on how much they paid for that.
$500,000.
Oh, now I see that you got that in the notes.
Yep.
Read the full notes, Louis. Okay.
Honestly, that's such a steal for NASCAR.
Yeah.
To get the entire license for NASCAR for $500,000.
How desperate for money are you without saying how desperate for money you are?
Very. As they also reported that they still have a net loss of $1.7 million, as opposed to the $5.3 million that they had this time last year. But they're still losing money. And they still have a very long way to go if they want to get the company to a place where it's actually making money. I'm pretty sure Matt and Steven mentioned this last week, but it was also reported that Motorsport Games sold the ownership of Traction to... I don't remember. They sold it to another video game reporting, which their name's escaping me right now, but yeah.
That's the first I've heard of that, because I haven't heard the Traction name in some time, actually.
Yeah, apparently the entire team is going to be coming back as well. So.
Oh, wonderful.
Yep. I just find it funny that Traction was like one of the things that was actually working for Motorsport Games for a while, and that was one of the first things that they closed because they couldn't pay for anything anymore, and now they just sold it. So.
Oh, well.
Motorsport Games continues to be disappointing. Anyway, last little piece of sim racing news before I let Taylor go off about the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing series in a little bit. I finally got my hands on the new Thrustmaster 32R. What is it? The Evo Racing.
I don't know, it's not sitting in front of me, dude.
Leather. Yeah. The name is very long. This is part of Thrustmaster's new ecosystem where it's going to be similar to other wheel manufacturers. Well, they'll have a hub and different wheels that you can attach to it. It is still very bright. It is still
how bright is it?
It's pretty. It's like nuclear bright.
Radiation.
They could go. Right. Yeah, they could go with having a little bit not as bright of color on the wheel itself, particularly in the stitching, because the stitching I'm still planning on like covering with like shoe polish so that I don't have yellow stitching all over the place. And the wheel itself is missing like the traditional center tape on the top of the wheel, if you know what I mean. Which I did, when I tried it out last night, I did find myself missing a couple times on ovals particularly. But
center
over
tape?
The tape at the top of the wheel that marks the center so that
the center tape, gotcha. You said sensor, and I was just like, sensor tape? That's a new feature.
Center. I'm pretty sure gotcha. I said center. I meant to say center.
Well, if you said center, I heard it as sensor, so I do apologize as that.
Anyway, but overall, wheel feels good, the buttons feel good. I'm beginning to learn that I just don't like having a small diameter wheels and racing with them. Because it was definitely a lot easier for me to catch sliding cars on having a larger rim than on the previous like 10-inch round Thrustmaster rim that I had. So there you go.
I would say that would, and I mean no offense on this at all, but I think that would have to do with your body type.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine.
I mean, it does, and I'm not not saying that it doesn't, but
right.
You know, I like having a larger wheel. Anyway.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Nope, so, nothing wrong with it at all.
It is time for this week's esports roundup of the week. Taylor, take it away.
Well, of course, we got to talk all things the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing series as they were off to the Talladega Super Speedway where
Yay!
A driver breaks a 8-year winless streak.
Yay!
So it was none other than the Nitro Circus's very own Dylan Duval, who was able to beat out Tucker Minter as the time of caution coming out for their third and final attempt of a green-white checkered. And I got to say, it was full of chaos from start to finish watching that race and just trying to figure out who will come out on top. Your top three is Dylan Duval, Tucker Minter, and Garrett Lowe. A couple of notable drivers who were out of the race early were drivers such as Ryan Doucette, Keegan Leahy, Casey Kerwin, who had some issues, but hopefully we'll see them recover as they head off to the Charlotte Motor Speedway for Memorial Day weekend, as well as Darlington Raceway later in the month. But as the standings go, going after seven rounds, it is Steven Wilson at the top of the leaderboard with Vincente Salas, Nick Ottinger, Parker White, and Bobby Zielinski, your top five in the standings. So we look forward to seeing the next race on Tuesday, May 21st, as they head to Charlotte Motor Speedway, just in time for the Memorial Day extravaganzas that'll be happening prior or ahead of that week.
Thank you, hey. Taylor.
Hooray!
Hooray!
Nick Damon's here twice?
We're going to get sued for copyright infringement by doing
oh,
that.
Oh, goodness. If Nick sues us for saying hooray for eNASCAR type stuff, then we need to have a talk.
Speaking of, I get to pull Nick Damon this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to go RC racing.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. Now, I was going to say, if Nick Damon does, we'll just call the responsible adult, and she will fix the whole problem.
Oh, yes, she will.
When in doubt, call Eve.
Exactly. Yep. Love you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Since we're talking about Nick Damon, I received a message. I think it was last week when IMSA, the iRacing IMSA series was at Spa.
Mm-hmm.
I received a message from one of our listeners who apparently ran into Nick Damon, literally.
We need to have
that
Nick
was very expensive.
Yes.
Have Nick come on the show and talk about his issues on iRacing.
Yeah, well, maybe he should, because from what it looked like Nick Damon tried to drive straight from the last corner of Spa into the pit lane without, you know, taking the pit road. So, not sure what's happening there, but anyway, so that does bring us tangentially to another end of the Simcast. Any final words of wisdom, gentlemen?
It's been over a month, so I guess I'll go ahead and say it. Hashtag eat more tacos. Hashtag eat more tacos. Hashtag eat more tacos. And this weekend, we will be hashtag eat more tacoing on the Nürburgring.
That's next weekend, bud.
Next weekend.
This weekend is just Steven and Jam.
I'm just going to go.
And happy Mother's Day.
Yes, happy Mother's Day. This is the American show, so we can say that.
Yes, we can.
Yeah. Taylor, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say I'm going to head off to Cotton Bowl Saturday night and have some fun there and enjoy the rest of my week before I head off to COTA once again.
Oh, Cotton Bowl Speedway. That's a quarter mile, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. That's, can't remember, is it flat or high banked?
It's got a little banking here. I can give all you a quick. Right. I know we're doing some shameless plugging, but let's see. What is racing this week at Cotton Bowl? I know we have our normal street stocks and everything like that racing at Cotton Bowl, but
I don't even know if we have time for this. Do we, Ben?
I don't know. But you know what? We'll talk about it next time. How about that?
Yeah, tell me after the show.
Yes. For all of us here on the U.S. version of the Simcast, thank you all for listening. Matt and Steven will be back next week, but until then, everyone stay safe out there, and bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.